Welcome back once again to the CPL Newsroom presented by Volkswagen. You probably know the drill by now. I'm Charlie O'Connor Clark. That's Mitchell Tierney over there. We are doing our team by team 2024 Canadian Premier League season previews. Where are we now, Mitch? The fourth one? We're on number four. That's Pacific FC, obviously. Pacific, who hosted a midweek playoff game last year, one over York, one in Halifax in their next playoff game. And then we're eliminated at the semi-final stage, I guess we'd call it, by Cavalry FC. Again, we have five questions prepared to talk about Pacific. We are going to put 10 minutes on the clock. Did it work? It did. And we are going to start. So, Mitch, to begin with, there's been some big names that have left this team in this offseason. Manny Aparicio and Amir Didic are probably the biggest, I think, that we would be able to mention. How big are those particular losses, and which of them is bigger?
Well, I think both are obviously, you know, pretty significant losses. These were cornerstone pieces of the Pacific FC side over the past 2 years. But, you know, if you want to talk about which one's bigger, I think it has to be Manny Aparicio. You look at the back-to-back nominations for CPL Player of the Year. He was a member of that 2021 championship side as well. Now there's only two remaining players from the starting lineup, that being Josh Hurd and Thomas Mergeguer, who are still with Pacific, you know, a few years later. And Pacific won just two of 17 matches over the past 2 years in which Aparicio didn't play at least 45 minutes. So I think that in itself kind of answers the question. Just a player who's been the engine of that team for three seasons now, and I think played some of his best career football with Pacific.
Two of 17.
That's not great.
That Manny didn't play 45 minutes. That is rough. I know we've talked before about, or in both of the last two seasons, about how important he was to that team, but I think that kind of puts it into pretty stark perspective for these guys. And it is going to be a very, very different Pacific FC team this year with a lot of moving parts, a lot of new pieces. But before we get to some of the changes in the outfield, in the attack, and in the midfield, let's start in goal. Obviously, this year's goalkeeping tandem, Emil Gazdov returning. He played just over half of the minutes as the starting keeper last year, competing a bit with Kieran Baskett. They brought in Sean Melvin to challenge him. How does that kind of experienced addition to this group maybe push Gazdov, and is this goalkeeping tandem better for it?
I think this is a bit of a theme for the club as a whole, as they wanted to bring in a little bit more experience this season. They have, you know, a lot of young talented players that they are really high on and excited about. And, you know, Emil Gazdov is one of those players, but they felt maybe there weren't enough of those veterans around them. Certainly over the second half of the season, maybe you saw that, to, you know, provide that leadership and character when things get tough. And yeah, I think this is going to be great for Gazdov, and it's going to be great for Pacific because it will push him. It will provide him a mentor and a goalkeeper in Sean, you know, Melvin, who has plenty of experience, not just in the CPL, but, you know, around North America, can lean on that to help out Gazdov. And, you know, really, this is a battle for the number one spot. Melvin comes in with tremendous talent, and he'll want to play as well. So, you know, talking to James Merriman, he's already talked about the professionalism and the attitude that Melvin's brought to this group. So I think it's a big ad for them this offseason. And yeah, it's going to be a fascinating goalkeeping battle to watch all year.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Gazdov's still only 20 years old, but he's a player that this club has put a lot of faith in over the years. He's been there quite a while now. Obviously went on loan to Germany for a little bit, but I think he's been at Pacific since he was 17. And last year they started to give him the keys to the number one job. Maybe he struggled at times, but again, they kind of trusted him and they did what they could to keep the confidence up by continuing to give him those opportunities to, you know, sometimes you need to give a young player a chance to fail, and then you help them by building them back up. Melvin obviously being a Vancouver Island native, so another homecoming in a sense at Pacific. That's going to be an interesting story to watch. I think I'd probably still expect Gazdov to start the season in goal, but, you know, if he does struggle a little bit, maybe Melvin takes a couple of games. He's also a player who's been a backup for a few years in Atletico Ottawa, so he's probably expecting to get at least a little bit more playing time on the island as well. So that'll be an interesting one to see develop. Question number three, at the other end of the pitch, can Pacific FC finally find a consistent goal threat? You know, they didn't get the goals they wanted last year out of Easton Ongaro. He only scored 5. Adonijah Reed scored at some pretty timely occasions, including in the playoffs, but maybe not as much as they wanted. Ayman Salouf, the leading scorer on the team, with 7, though, and a lot of his contributions came off the bench. Mitch, do they have what they have in this group to have that kind of consistent goal-scoring threat and be, you know, a little bit more dangerous going forward?
Yeah, well, I think the name that they're still really chasing is a replacement for Alejandro Diaz. And, you know, what is it, a season and a half later, and they're still looking for that replacement. They didn't get it in Gennaro Daniels or Easton Ongaro or, you know, Adonijah Reed, as you mentioned. Reed's still there, obviously, and still will be a threat. You know, Ayman Salouf has proven he can create goals in this league. They've got Josh Hurd. I think having a number 10 in Andre Tursovinu will help them as well. Maybe a little bit more help. I'm getting a look for my pronunciation there. Let's fair enough.
We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, we'll have to ask him. But I think Rion Moore is an intriguing signing. I think Dario Zanata as well, someone who comes in with a lot of pro experience from Scotland, which is, you know, sometimes a tricky league to extrapolate from in terms of, you know, where, you know, how they do when they go to other leagues. But I think Moore is the big one coming from the Trinidad and Tobago national team, player who has proven himself at the CONCACAF level and who they'll really rely on. They created all the chances they needed to score goals last season. I mean, they led the league in expected goals. So, you know, I think Moore will have his opportunities this year. But again, neither of these players have CPL experience, so it's really hard to say, and they're coming from levels that, you know, are hard to know how they'll translate to the Canadian Premier League in terms of, you know, the Trinidad and Tobago League and you know, Scotland League One, I believe, was where Zanata was playing when he came in towards the end. So yeah, it'll be really intriguing. I think they have some good players there, but we'll see if, you know, they can be those goal scorers.
Yeah, Pacific were a bit frustrating to watch in attack at times last year, and I think James Merriman was the most frustrated by it at times, because they obviously had the quality and they had a lot of directness at times with players like Josh Hurd and Kunle Dadaluke just kind of bombing it into that attacking third and getting to those areas. But then when they got there, it seemed like the pace came off and maybe the movement wasn't there to try and unlock those spaces and those running lanes for dangerous passes. So it felt like maybe that creativity was missing, and it just, there was something not quite clicking, and it felt a little stale towards the end of the season. So I think one of the big things this team will be looking for will just be that dynamism in the attacking third, somebody to, you know, create that space to make those runs and to, again, bring a bit of a different dynamic that his club didn't have last season. Moving on to question 4. This is one that we are obviously asking of every Canadian Premier League team on this show. Which of Pacific's new signings will have the biggest impact? Mitchell, I feel like we may have mentioned one of them, but let me know, you know, if you've got a different name.
Yeah, I think for better or for worse, you know, a lot of pressure this year is going to be on Rion Moore. You know, this season is hopefully the team's answer to the number 9 position. And, you know, just because that's been the missing piece of the puzzle for so long for this team. You know, we've seen it internationally. This guy can score big goals. He'll get plenty of service, I think, between Salouf and Hurd and, you know, all of those guys that we mentioned that can create opportunities. I think this is a real chance for him to prove himself.
Yeah, I think that there are maybe some names on Pacific's incoming transfer list that are going a little under the radar because maybe they're unknown. You mentioned Andre. I want to say Tircovenu. I don't speak Romanian either, so we'll ask him. But he's a pretty highly touted young kind of number 10 player, and they haven't really played with that kind of fully forward attacking midfielder in a while, so that'll be interesting to see if it's a little bit of a different style from Pacific. I'm also interested in Ali Undom, who I think is somebody that people aren't necessarily talking about very much. He's got quite a lot of experience in France. He's played in Ligue 1. He's played, you know, in the French Cup and at a very high level of football. And I think that he might be, you know, the player that Pacific are looking at to maybe fill a little bit of Didic's shoes and take on some of those defensive duties. So that's, again, a player that I'll be watching pretty closely. He's certainly not the same kind of player, and I don't think he's quite as tall as Didic, but I think that definitely might be. No, very few people are. But I think that he might be somebody that becomes a very, very important part of this team. Final question. We have 50 seconds left on the clock, Mitch. What does success look like for Pacific FC in 2024? obviously fourth place in 2023. I think third the year before. Let me know what you think success is in 2024 for this club.
Yeah, it's tough that we're so limited because this might be the most tricky team because, you know, they did lose so much in terms of quality talent. But, you know, I think either a top three finish or an appearance in the final is probably success. That means progression. I know internally they'll want or love to get back to CONCACAF, but I think, you know, after back-to-back semifinal appearances, that's kind of the next step for this team is to either reach a final or get back into that top three in the standings.
Absolutely. And I think this is a club that will just want to be more consistent with its performances. They'll want to score first more often in games, which they didn't do very much last year. They felt like as Ooh. The piano riff starts to play.
Nice.
Awesome. I like that one. But yeah, this is a club that felt like they needed a wake-up call in games a lot of times last year to actually play their best football. I think Amir Didic said it a bunch of times, so I think they'll want to come out a little bit more dangerously at the start of games and end up more comfortably in the playoffs and higher up in the top four to end the season. Again, Mitchell Tierney, thank you very much for breaking down Pacific FC with me. As you guys all know by now, stick with us every day and we will continue to run through the eight Canadian Premier League teams. Obviously tomorrow being fifth place and that being York United FC. If you're watching on YouTube or on campl.ca or I believe on Twitter, thank you very, very much for joining us and we will see you tomorrow. And if you stuck with us on the podcast on audio, again, I sat down with James Merriman out on Vancouver Island almost a month ago now, I think, but still, you know, to get a bit of a sense of what he's seeing in his squad as they were very early in their training camp and what he's excited for and prioritizing in 2024. So we will again leave you with the voice of the Pacific FC head coach. We're out here on Vancouver Island in preseason with Pacific FC, joined by head coach James Merriman. James, you guys are back at it for another year. It's got to be exciting just to be, you know, back out on the pitch, seeing the guys come back into training and get ready for a new season.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a long off season. We know this in the Canadian Premier League. It's a long break for our players. It's been a good energy. Guys are excited to get back to work.
Yeah, speaking of like the energy coming in from the guys that are returning from last season, are you seeing kind of a hunger to get back at it, just knowing that, you know, obviously the season didn't end necessarily the way you wanted it to? Is there that hunger to come in and you know, start with a clean slate?
For sure. I mean, I think we all know the first half of the season where we were and towards the end of the season where we went, but then we actually had some fight in the playoffs, which, you know, finished the season with a mixed feeling for the group, because at the end of the day we were still one game away from getting to that final. And, you know, ultimately the goal for us this season and for our group, everybody speaks about it and knows we want to get into CONCACAF, and, you know, that lights a fire and that intrinsic motivation for the group to be there next season, 100%, absolutely. And you also see guys like Adonijah Reed, Stephen Yates, coming into their second season, and straight away from the first session, you can see them, they're more comfortable, but also showing more of their quality and with their confidence and leadership in the group. So we feel good about the group, and we're looking forward to the new season.
Heading into this 2024 season, you know, looking at the group you have, because there's no hiding that some of the guys you did lean on last year, you know, Manu, Amir, are not here anymore. But how confident are you in the group that you have brought back, the guys you brought in to fill some of these holes, that, you know, you can be the same team, you can have the same identity?
It's about our young central midfielders, Stephen Yates, Sean Young, Pierre Lamothe, Zach Bahous. These guys need to step up, and they're more than capable. They have the qualities to fill that role that Manu's left. And I think TMG kind of goes under the radar a little bit. He's very, very consistent. He's there for us with his mentality match after match, and he makes players better. He was there with Lucas, he was there with Amir. You know, if we have a young player that we believe is ready to play more minutes and take a bigger role, we need to make sure that that's available. So it's there for Paul, it's there for all those central midfielders that I mentioned. Now that's up to them to take
Just to wrap us up here, year six of Pacific FC, what's kind of a core message from you that you would give not only to the players, but to the fans, to this community on Vancouver Island, just about what to expect from this club this year?
What to expect from the club? It's the same as last season, is we want to try and get into that 1 and 2. And then ultimately, we want to get into CONCACAF. We want to get back into CONCACAF. And we speak about that with the group and with the players. And that's our number one goal. That's our number one focus, to be in these games.
James, thank you so much.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Obviously, Pacific going into their sixth season in the CPL, looking for, you know, another breakthrough.
Absolutely.